Thank you very much, Mr. Evans. Good afternoon, brethren. Welcome to our guests that we have with us here today and those watching by Cybercast. You know, what a wonderful holiday season we have had so far. To know that our loving Heavenly Father would allow His own Son to pay the penalty for our sins shows the extent of His love for each of us. You know, as a parent, this brings to mind a situation that my wife and I went through with our very first child, Elizabeth. You know, she was born premature, about 7 weeks or so, and they had her in an oxygen hood, so all you could see was from her neck down, and she had an IV in her hand, and she pulled that IV out. And, of course, the nurse came in, and there was blood coming from it, and we told them what had happened. And the nurse came in, and she'd poked her two or three times. She couldn't find that IV hole, or couldn't find a vein to put the IV back into. And finally, at that point, I said, okay, that's enough. Go find somebody else who knows what they're doing, because obviously you're not able to do this right now. So for God to have the restraint that He did to allow His Son to go through what He did as a parent, it totally blows my mind that God would have that much restraint. I know in the situation we went through, which didn't even compare to what Jesus Christ went through, it was more than I could handle to see that baby poked two or three times, let alone the sacrifice that Christ did. We have had all the sins of the past year wiped away through this Passover season, or through the Passover itself. We were able to renew our covenant with God at the Passover, live an unleavened life for the past 7 days, focusing on the commitment that we made at baptism and recommitting our lives to allow God to use us as He sees fit. Brethren, we cannot allow ourselves to lose our focus in the coming weeks and months ahead. Using the momentum that we have we need to look forward to the next holy day, the day of Pentecost. And one thing that we learned through the scriptures is that one holy day builds upon the other one. And it's just like a constant refresher throughout the year. We have to make sure that we're here next year. Please turn with me to Matthew 24 and verse 13, please. Matthew 24 and verse 13. The one thing that Christ points out to us here is He says, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Brethren, it takes a lot of endurance to live a Christian way of life. God has never promised it would be easy. He never promised it would be a rose garden. Remember a few years ago there was a song of that. I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the rain, the sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometime. God never promised us that we would never, ever have situations to go through in our lives that would be challenging to us. You know, I've learned this lesson more and more with each passing year. When I was younger, I used to think, you know, I can do this. I can handle this. But as I've gotten older, I realize that it is God that's the strong one, and I'm just a weak vessel. I don't have the strength to do anything without His help, and neither does anyone else. But with His help, as Philippians 4:13 says, if you'll turn there, please. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Here we're told, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How true that is, brethren, because without that strength each and every day, we couldn't make it. You know, this reminds me of a individual that I had talked to one time, and I'll go ahead and mention her name because I know she wouldn't mind. But one time from the feast, I had called Mrs. Walton just to see how she was doing. And she gave me a piece of advice that I've never forgotten. She said, you know, I'm in my 80s. And she said, before I get out of bed every morning, I ask God to give me the strength to do what I need to do for that day, to give me the strength to prepare the meals that I need to prepare, to clean my house, to do my grocery shopping. And she said, I'm in my 80s. And she said, I can still do all those things. But I ask for that help each and every day. And you know what? We need to, too. Brethren, I want to focus on the subject of endurance. We don't know what we'll be facing over the next year. But whatever comes up, one thing for sure, we won't be alone, or we won't have to face anything on our own. God the Father and Jesus Christ will be there to help each of us each and every day of our lives. But we have to ask Him to. He expects us to do our part, but if we follow Him and what He tells us to do, and the example that Christ has set for us, He will be right there with us, and we'll be here next Passover. Let's set a goal of enduring the challenges that we will face and ways to help us through this coming years, because we don't know how many more years there are going to be before Christ actually returns. I don't see it going on a long time, but none of us know. You know, I've been in the church for a long time, and I can remember dates that used to be set back in 1975, or I think there was a booklet at one time called 1975 in Prophecy. Well, the events that were prophesied are true. But when you go trying to put dates on God, only He knows when things are going to happen the way they're supposed to. So, we need to make sure that whatever we do, and our focus needs to be qualifying for God's kingdom. So for our first part that we want to look at today, let's look at enduring persecution. Let's go back to the book of Matthew in chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. Here Christ tells us, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Being a Christian in today's society is drawing more and more persecution each and every day. You know, my daughter Hannah works at a jewelry store, and she's been doing quite well at her job ever since she started there. But recently, they hired a new assistant manager. And this past Friday, the manager told her, you are not clocking out and leaving before sunset. You're staying until the store closes at 9 o'clock. She said, no, I'm not. She said, yeah, you will, or you'll be in for it. And Hannah said, well, you do what you need to do, but at 8 o'clock, I'm clocking out. So she doesn't know what's going to happen from here. All of us, from time to time, have had that same scenario to face in our lifetime. We've been threatened by jobs. You know, to stand up for your beliefs in today's society brings hatred, death threats, and sadly, in some cases, even death. Look at what's been going on in the Middle East. How many of those people have been beheaded or shot just for being Christians alone? Look at what's happened. There was a situation that happened in Indiana recently where they passed a law. Wasn't discriminating against anybody, was allowing businesses the opportunity to not serve certain occasions if they chose not to, if their beliefs prevented them from doing so. And this one news reporter went to a pizza shop and said, hey, what do you guys think about this? And she goes, well, we don't discriminate against anybody walking in the door. And they said, well, what if somebody asked you to cater pizza for a wedding? I can't imagine that, but that was the question that was posed to her. And she said, well, because of our religious beliefs, we couldn't do that. They received death threats. They had to shut their business up. This is getting worse and worse as time goes on. And it's going to get worse. It's going to get a lot worse. Let's go to the book of John in chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 2. John 16 and verse 2. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God a service. We have a very good resource to turn to when we're being persecuted for our beliefs. But the thing about it is, we can't change what we believe. We have to follow what God tells us to do. Let's go to Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 13. Here it was written, "Have mercy on me, O Lord. Consider my troubles from those who hate me. You who lift me up from the gates of death." You see, God will help us to endure persecution for following Him and living a godly life. He won't leave us or forsake us to fend for ourselves. He will fight our battles for us. As an example of that, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and look at a situation the children of Israel went through. 2 Chronicles 32, and we'll read verse 8. They're talking about the enemy here. He says, "With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah." As we should be, brethren, God will not forsake us in any way, shape, or form. We can't do the same to him, though. We can't forsake him either. The next area we want to look at is enduring temptation. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1, we'll read verse 12. James 1 and verse 12. "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Satan tries his best to make us believe that living a godly life is not what we want to do, that he has a better way. He's been trying to convince mankind of that from the Garden of Eden till today. And he will still try till he's put away for all eternity. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" Satan wanted Eve to believe that God was trying to hold something back from her and her husband. And that's one of Satan's best tactics. He tries to make you think you're being deprived of something. Something he convinced her was a better way. How many times in our lives does he use this same tactic? It wasn't like God didn't give them a choice. The tree was there all along. God left the choice to them. He did give them instruction on what he wanted them to do, but they still had a choice to make, just like we do. And remember, there were two trees. They just chose the wrong one. He even tried to convince God's own son to yield to him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle, and said, "If you are the Son of God..." See, he always tries to put that doubt in there. If. "Throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." See, he was actually quoting a scripture from the Bible, which is in Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12. We're not going to turn there, but it's just a reference scripture. Jesus said to him, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God," which is also a quote from Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. "And again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you'll just fall down and worship me.'" Now, I have always thought that was ironic. You're talking to the one who created you and asking them to fall down and worship you. "Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" That's a quote from Deuteronomy 6, 13, and Deuteronomy 5, verse 7. Be sure Satan will try to entice us away from God and his way of life. That's where making sure that we do our part is absolutely imperative. We have to pray daily. We have to study God's Word daily. Then we have to meditate on those things that we've studied. You know, a lot of times when I'm driving, I won't even have the radio on. I'll just be thinking about something that we've covered in Bible study. A lot of times I talk to God a lot when I'm driving down the road. It's no great thing on my part. It's just one of the tools that I use to help me. Said we should ask God to guide our steps each and every day. And also, don't forget fasting. Fasting is an extremely powerful tool that God gives us to use. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. Here we're told, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." We are weak, brethren, but through the help that we receive through the power of prayer, we gain the strength we need to endure temptation. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll read verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to men. But God is faithful, He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. But with the temptation, he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. If we seek God's help, he will provide it. By ourselves, we can't do anything. But that's the best part. We're not by ourselves. God the Father and Jesus Christ are in our corner. You see, all around the room, there's electrical switches. And there's a lot of power behind those switches. But we have to make the effort to flip the switch on. That's our part we have to do. That's going to God and saying, hey, I need the strength to do this. I need the strength to help me with this trial. I need the strength to help me each and every day. If we turn the switch on, the power is there for us to use. But if we don't make the effort to turn the switch on, it's not. God wants us to ask, just like Christ instructed. Let's go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And he will help us, no matter what trial we're facing, no matter what circumstance we're facing, whether it's the loss of a job or anything else for that matter. He's there to help us. You know, sometimes we get that help and we don't even realize it. Recently, as I was coming back from Columbus, I was going to get off on exit 159 there at the edge of Chillicothe, and I was going to Sam's Club to pick up a few things that we needed before we left, before I got on my way home. As soon as I got off the exit and I hit the gas pedal on the car, nothing happened. I'm like, uh-oh, something's not right. So we hit the gas pedal again, tachometer goes all the way over, comes back. I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to get to an area that's safe? Because I'm not right here. I don't know how many of you realize how far that distance is, but I coasted from the exit ramp of 159 off of 23 all the way to the Tractor Supply parking lot. Going through one light, just so happened that light turned green at the precise moment I needed it to, so I didn't have to hit my brake, and I coasted right into the Tractor Supply parking lot. No big deal. And then when I called AAA, and they sent a wrecker and picked me up. But, you know, a lot of times God does things for us because when we pray about it earlier that day and ask him to help us throughout the day, a lot of times that help comes and we don't even realize it. That, hey, I did ask about that, didn't I? You know, God is just awesome. The third area that we want to look at is that of endurance, is to run the race that is set before us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. I'm actually going to read this from the Phillips translation because I think it brings out a little clearer the point that I'm trying to make here. Surrounded then as we are by these ranks of witnesses, let us strip off everything that hinders us, as well as the sin which dogs our feet. Let us run the race that we have to run with patience, our eyes fixed on Jesus, the source of our and the goal of our faith. For he himself endured a cross and thought nothing of its shame, because of the joy he knew would follow his suffering. And now he's seated at the right hand of God's throne. Think constantly of him enduring all the sinful men. He endured all that sinful men could say against him. And you will not lose your purpose or your courage. Running a race takes a lot of preparation and endurance. We have to keep our focus on the end result. That for us is qualifying for God's kingdom. Our elder brother ran that race and is there to cheer us on and to inspire us to the very end. He won't give up on us, brethren. He makes intercession for us with the Father to help us in every way that he can. We again have to ask for it, though. God won't force any of us to do his will. He didn't do that with Adam and Eve in the beginning, and he won't do it now. He did not force the angels that rebelled against Satan. They had to choose God's righteous way or believe the lie that they were being told by Satan. By studying, we learn the will of God in our lives. He will help us and strengthen us to be able to finish our race. Yet, at times, he even carries us. One thing is for sure, as Romans 8, verse 31 states, if you'll turn there, please. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? That's the most reassuring thing that we have going for us as Christians. We know that God is for us. And we know that those who are against us don't have the power that he does to help us. The last area we want to focus on is that of endurance, is the help that we get from being with people of like mind. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 27 to start this one off. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. You see, we draw strength from one another. We get sharper in God's word by the fellowship that we share with one another. We gain strength from other members of the body of Christ. The thought that came to me on this was, you know, have you ever arrived early at the feast and experienced the anticipation of other feast goers arriving there? It's like it just builds up and you're like, oh man, I'm so excited. I can't wait for everybody to get here. Then, if you ever had the experience of when the feast is over, maybe you stay around a few extra days. And it just feels so empty. It just feels like, why am I here? It's time to go home. There's no common bond here to look forward to anymore. And then, you can't wait to meet again on the weekly Sabbath service. Or as the case has been over the winter when services had to be canceled due to weather, then you just couldn't wait to get back to services the following week. Sometimes we don't realize how much we miss our weekly gathering until we have to miss. Sometimes it's weather. Sometimes it's due to an illness or sickness. And we've had those share of ours, that in our family. But being together with God's people on the Sabbath is such a wonderful blessing. And to be able to meet here in peace at this time is just so fantastic. It's beyond words. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. A lot of us probably know this one by heart. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so that so much more as you see the day approaching. The day is approaching fast too, brethren. World conditions are being set up every day that are going to change things very quickly. You know, last week, some of you may have heard this beforehand, but this is the first time I heard of it. Last week, the Arab nations are talking about having a combined Arab army to combat the radicals within their own group. But just the idea that a few years ago would have seemed like that wasn't even possible to happen. Now, to a certain degree, it's starting to happen. And you have Saudi Arabia, you have Jordan, and some of the other countries around there that are bombing sites in Yemen because they don't agree with what's going on there, and they're trying to get it stopped. How much more, as world conditions worsen, are you going to see that? Will that lead to the King of the South? It's very possible. Let's go to 2 Timothy verse 2. Or chapter 2, I'm sorry, verse 15. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. It says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's where, by doing our prayer and our Bible study every day and meditating on what God's telling us, and an occasional fast, not just on the Day of Atonement, really helps us rightly divide the word of truth in our lives. Brethren, by fellowshipping with God's people, we have a chance to talk about world conditions in the light of the Bible that we can't do with anyone else. We can also share our trials with each other and ask others to pray about a particular situation that we may be going through. Prayer requests are an excellent way that we can help bear one another's burdens. We need each other, and most importantly, we need God in our lives. Brethren, as we move forward, God will help us endure the trials that we'll be facing. We will face persecution. We'll face temptation. We are in a race for our lives, and we need to be around others of like mind. By combining these four areas, we will be able to endure. God has promised never to leave us or never to forsake us. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. It says, let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, lust, craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give up on you, nor leave you without support. And then he makes a very dogmatic statement that's brought up with the Amplified Version. I will not in any degree leave you helpless nor forsake you. I will not let you down or relax my hold on you. So we can take comfort in it and be encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? And for our final scripture, let's go to Mark chapter 13 and verse 13. Mark 13 and verse 13 states, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved."